Well, good morning. How's everyone? Is it well with your soul?
Amen.
Amen. We serve such a good God. You won't find a better one than what we serve. Amen. I want to tell you, He is the greatest. Oh, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to start with verse 17. You know, I want you to kind of take this message as really an encouragement. Not to put down in any way, but I know the Lord gave it to me as an encouragement and something that we really need to work towards. It's important to the Lord, and therefore it's important to us to be able to do. And, you know, I think it's good to understand this and be challenged by it. Because if you look in the world today, folks, can you see that Jesus is coming back soon? Do you get that impression, that idea? He says that you'll know about when He's coming is because of the things that are going to be going on. You know, I think we talked a little bit about, well, you can read the signs of the times of the weather, right? And we can predict a lot of things because of that, sometimes better than the weathermen. But we can look at the signs of the times, and I'm going to tell you, Jesus will come back real soon. So we want to be ready, want to be prepared for that. So 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Verse 18, it says, "Now, if the righteousness or the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." Will you pray with me? Father, we just thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that we take this just as a challenge as You mean it to us. And Lord, that You would give us more understanding of what You're really trying to show us and to tell us, and what we can glean from it. Father, Your word is always positive. It's always to help us grow more in You, to bring us to a place, Lord, that we can truly walk with You and be blessed by You. So we thank You, Lord, for this time. Lord, I thank You for Your church, Your people here, they love You very much, and their desire is to serve You. Lord, we just thank You for that privilege and opportunity that we have to serve You and to walk with You. You are our Heavenly Father, and we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of want to recommend or recognize the fathers today as well. Folks, it's a big chore sometimes, and I know women have a big role in raising the kids, but so do men. I talked to one, we were downstate and doing a interment in the cemetery for my son-in-law. And his father was there, and he's still, it's been a year, and he's still very distraught, very. He wanted to read a scripture and was doing it, but wept so badly he couldn't hardly say the words. And his thought was, well, you just don't know the pain that a father suffers. So I had to kind of talk with him because that was creating hatred that he had for other people. He was rejecting his grandson and rejecting my son-in-law's wife. And he's a good man. But pain was destroying him. And I had to encourage him through it and talk to him afterwards. And I said, Ed, we've got to be strong for the family. We're fathers. We've got to be strong for the family. We can't let hurt and things turn into bitterness to separate us. So I said, let Jesus have that pain. We'll see him again. But don't let this bitterness control you and want to split you off from the rest of the family. Do you know his Ed's own sister, he would not allow her to come to the internment of her nephew. In fact, he hasn't recognized her for many years. Nobody knows why. But folks, this is what happens when you grieve and you hurt and you already have a lot of pain in your heart and it turns into bitterness. But afterwards, after all of this, God started to work. When he first got there, he wouldn't talk to us. But after the service and I got to talk with him then, as I said, he just kept shaking my hand. He'd shake my hand and let it go, and he'd say a couple words, and he'd grab my hand again, and you know, and then he hugged me. And so in that, I could just see how the Holy Spirit was working. The Father was already working in his life, taking away that pain, that anger. You see, he had a lot of guilt because he thought he could have done more. And that's what he told me. He says, Jim, I thought I could I've done more. I should have done more. Because at the interment, I even told him before I ended the prayer, I said, Ed, you guys, you did a good job. You did a real good job with your son. And he became quite a man. And come to find out that was his main problem, is he thought he failed. And he was taking it out, not only on himself, but everyone else. So folks, there's times that we need to hear things in God's word to kind of settle our heart and to get us back on the right track so that we're not holding grudges, that we're not blaming ourselves or anyone else. So I guess that's why the Lord wants to share this with us today. We've had quite the week. I went to the prison on Thursday and had a good night with them. But 1 Peter chapter 4 that we've read addresses the theme of suffering and judgment, particularly focusing on the experiences of believers in the context of our faith. Judgment then begins really with the house of God. That's in verse 17. Peter states that judgment begins with God's house, referring to the church and believers. This indicates that God holds his people accountable for their actions and faithfulness. You see, a lot of people don't understand that. What they think of is God is love, and he is, and that God bestows his grace on us, and therefore, we're kind of home free. We've got a loving Father, and he gives us all the grace we need. In fact, that's how we're saved. Saved by grace through faith. And so people tend to get very relaxed in that. And you see them once in a while in church, or maybe they're not really active in any way. They're good to show up in church. But see, they don't understand that, hey, God gives us a lot of things so that he can use us. Folks, when you're used by God, do you feel good about it? It's like me in preaching. I'm like, Lord, you actually, they're going down to see if I ate all the pie downstairs. But I thank God. I said, Lord, you actually trust me with your word? Folks, can you imagine the trust that the Lord has to bestow on somebody to share his word with his people whom he loves so much? You know, what if I just shared what I thought and what I wanted to share with you? And maybe, it'd probably be wrong then, but how would that help you? It may hurt a lot of people. Folks, there's people that are so hurt in church, they'll never come back again. But I've invited them. So, oh no, I'm not going there with all the hypocrites. I said, well, you can stay home with all the hypocrites. But you know, they say, I've been hurt. Well, sorry about that, but we've all been hurt at one time or another. And we really need to grow up. And that's what we need. We really need to grow up in the Lord. So anyway, let's continue on. He holds us accountable. The judgment here can be understood as a refining process where God purifies and disciplines his people. This serves then as a reminder that believers are called to live righteously in accordance with God's will. It emphasizes the importance of our self-examination and accountability within the Christian community. The outcome for the disobedient, in verse 17 as well, says, Peter possesses a rhetorical question. He poses that, and about the fate of those who do not obey the gospel of God. If judgment begins with the believers, it raises the question of what will happen to those who reject the message. You know, that's something a lot of us, we really don't want to think about. And I understand that, because it's not good what happened. That's why it's important for us to hear the word. So this highlights the seriousness of disobedience and the consequences of turning away from the truth. This serves as a warning to both believers and non-believers about the importance of responding to the gospel. And it also underscores the urgency of our evangelism and the need for believers to share the message of salvation with others. You know, I've always kind of had the feeling, because I have a lot of people that we share and I talk with, I hear them a lot, and they say, well, I just can't wait for the rapture. Well, I'm with you. I'm ready. You know, I want to go. And the Lord says that we're to keep watch out for it. Look out for it. Realize that it's coming, but be ready. Have your house in order. But see, there's a lot of people who don't understand that we are held accountable for things. And that's why I've always had the feeling, but I never really shared it because I couldn't find scripture on it. Not that I was really looking, but I think I found some this morning on that, you know, because I believe although their people are filled with believers, the churches are filled with believers, but when the rapture happens, I really don't know if all of them are going to go. You know, I always thought before, well, the church would be emptied out. Poof. No more Jesus of Lord church. No more Harbor Light. No more of the other churches because they'll all be gone. But, you know, I don't know if that's really true. I'm afraid there might be some church people, believers, left behind because they're not watching. They're not ready. Otherwise, why would the Lord warn us in that? Let me give you a scripture here. It's from verse 18. Well, let me just read verse 18 again. It says, now, if the righteousness, or the righteous one, that is scarcely saved. Now, y'all see that? The righteous means believers, good people. It says, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Kind of putting stuff together here. But have you seen that before? If the righteous one is scarcely saved. And Peter then quotes really Proverbs 11:31 and stating this. It says, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become? That's Proverbs 11:31. What will become of the ungodly then and the sinner? You see, there is an accountability of where we're at in the Lord. But the pathway of a believer in righteousness and walking with the Lord, we really face difficulties. Do y'all think it's kind of hard sometimes being a Christian? You know, I always thought somebody really made me mad. I'd used to say, I'd like to just punch their lights out. And then later I would pray for them to show righteousness. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to be slapped in the face, to be run over, to be denied of any understanding or even as a person. To be thrown out, rejected, misunderstood all the time. Folks, it's hard. It's hard doing the right thing when so much wrong has been done to you. My grandson called me first part of the week before we went down Dakota. And he said, Grandpa, I'm never talking to my grandpa again. I was over visiting with him, and he had such a bad attitude, and even towards me. And I told him that at school they did a recording of my testimony. And Dakota said to his grandpa, he said, when that comes out, we're going to have people over. Would you come over and see it with all of us? And he says, no, because I don't care. And he says, Grandpa, you don't care, and you wouldn't come and see it. He says, no, I'm not interested at all. And he said some other things, and then it went down to where I blame your mom and I blame you for the things that are happening in our family and all. See, that's the bitterness again. And Dakota says, I'm done with them. I'll never visit them again. I could care less. I said, I let him talk, and I said, now, Dakota, wait a minute. I said, is that what the Lord wants us to do? I said, as ugly as that is of what he said, Do you really want to be like them? And then he calmed down. God is good like that. He'll listen. He can be totally to the other side, ready to cut your throat with a knife if he has to. And then when you just mentions the word and the Holy Spirit just mentors, he just mellows. And I could tell in his voice, the way he said things, it was changing. I said, Dakota, we got to just love them. I said, they're hurting. They don't understand. Not like you do. I said, we've got to learn to excuse people and love people, even when it hurts. And you know, he's so glad that he did, because his grandpa, at the end, as God was softening his heart and doing a work in him, that Dakota kind of, he called Dakota over to him. Dakota was standing by me, and he called him over and put his arm around him and led him a little ways off from the group and told him he was sorry for what he said. And he said he was very interested in him, would love to hear his testimony. But do you see how God can change us? Folks, if God doesn't give us things like this to look at in our lives, what would we end up being? What would we end up doing? We would destroy one another. God says, no, I don't want that. He says, I'm going to hold you accountable, and I'm going to let you know that I hold you accountable. He says, I'll work with you. I'll give you my grace so that you can overcome all this hardship. I give you my Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to encourage you in all of this. He says, but you got to understand it. You got to realize what the enemy does to us. And how that if I don't share it with you and if I don't encourage you in this, that it'll engulf you. It'll destroy you. And then when my son Jesus comes back for you, you'll be left behind. Do y'all see why God shares things like, you know, there's a lot of people, they can't take any of this. It bothers them. And it's like, folks, just surrender to the Lord. You know, there's so much hurt that we can go through as Christians. But folks, we've got to stay righteous. We've got to continue to walk with the Lord and say, Lord, I don't like it, but I'm going to serve you and I'm going to do it your way. No matter what it feels like or looks like or how anyone treats me. But Lord, I trust in your precious grace and power to give me the ability to walk through all of this. So it's important for us to watch. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 34 and through 36, it says this. That's Luke 21, 34 through 36. It says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day comes upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Folks, this is important. God's just warning us. You know, what kind of father would be the one that would let his child just do whatever? I had a son-in-law like that. My granddaughter, How old was she when she he would let her go uptown? About seven? Six or seven? She'd go uptown. He said, yeah, go ahead. Because he didn't want the aggravation of her pestering him about, oh, come on, Dad, let me go, let me go. So he just says, yeah, whatever. Go play in the street. Now, what kind of father is that? Yeah, our kids don't like it sometimes when we say no. But we say no for a reason. And that's what our Heavenly Father does, as he warns us. And he's saying, I don't want you left behind. When my son comes, I want you up here with me. So you get to watch. You got to understand that my word is real and you're held accountable by it. Folks, if we don't receive Jesus into our lives and into our hearts, do you know that we're destined for a devil's hell? And you can be a good person, but you can't go without Jesus, because nobody's perfect. You might be good. Isn't that why Jesus said when they called him good, oh, good teacher? He said, why do you call me good? He said, there's no one that's good, only the Father. See, there's no one that's perfect but the Father. So it's important for us to realize. And the suffering according to God's will in verse 19. So Peter concludes by encouraging those who suffer according to God's will to commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This highlights the importance of trust and reliance on God during difficult times. That's why we had a church. That's why we come together. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We love on each other. We want to be there for each other. You're not by yourself. You have the body of Christ to be with you. See, the lost don't have that. The lost is, if you don't go drink with them and party with them and do the things that they do, they don't really want you around. You're in the way. But not to church. You can come in a mess, but we should love you, because we know what God can do, and we realize that's where most of us were before, just like they were. Folks, we serve such a good God. We need to get serious about His word and what God says. There's going to be a lot of Christians left behind who didn't understand this, who didn't even know about it. And they're going to go through the tribulation. And the first thing that happens, really, well, within the first year or so, probably, is you get the mark of the beast. If you don't get that special mark on your hand or your forehead, you won't be able to buy, sell. You won't be recognized as a person. And eventually you'll be killed. But you'll probably die of hunger anyway. And so those that are left through the tribulation, for you to be saved, it's no more by grace. It's by works. You have to measure up. And the way you measure up through the tribulation is you just have to die. They're going to kill you. And probably not in a pleasant way. But the Lord says, it's easy now, because I'll do it through you. I give you my grace. give you my Holy Spirit. I gave you Jesus who made you righteous. All you got to do is receive it and take my word so serious. God doesn't talk just to hear himself talk. That's the way I always was with my kids. When I said no, I meant no. And they knew that. You know, another thing with our kids, they never once asked me or my wife, their mother, if we were going to church Sunday. Never once asked. They knew. Sunday's church. That's just the way it was. And even when we had Wednesday night, Wednesday night's church. So when the Lord speak, what do you do with it? See, that's how his word is. So we need to take the word and live it and realize that God says it for our good because he loves us. There's some other things I want to say, but I probably better not. So I'll let the Lord say them to you maybe. But folks, I pray that you don't take this message as a downer. If you do, you need prayer. Lloyd will be here and others will be here. We'll be happy to pray for you. Because that's not how the Lord meant this. He meant it to bless us, to encourage us, and to say, I'm for you and I will work through you, but you gotta do it my way. Amen. We got to do it his way. And that's what he's saying. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the people, your people, who love you so much. Bless them, encourage them, draw them to you. And Lord, let us see that you're encouraging us. Thank you for your encouragement, for all your blessings and your Holy Spirit. Lord, all that you do for us. Thank you. But please let us take this, Lord, as your advice, your encouragement. Otherwise, you'd have never shared it with us if we wasn't worth hearing it. Y'all realize that? My dad would always say sometimes, ain't no sense in telling you, you won't do it anyway. But I'm not like that anymore. I want to be obedient, Father. Thank you again for your people, for your church, for your word. In Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you. Amen and amen. I want to read a blessing over you if I can. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his tender mercy and give you his peace. Amen. God bless.